Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Gabrielle Union strived for the perfection her father always demanded, but as a dark-skinned Black girl, she never felt like she was enough. In our new series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she learned to embrace the things that scared her and let go of her need to be perfect.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens, Watch What Crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me, as usual, is the wonderful and talented and friendly Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. This is our second Top Chef recap of the week. We've moved Top Chef to Fridays. Although, actually, next Friday, there will be no Top Chef recap because we just have a little bit of a clusterfuck of scheduling at the end of next week. So we're having a 1 week hiatus of Top Chef. Pains us as much as it pains you. And then we'll be back. But for right now, big episode, Restaurant Wars, about to get into it. Before we do that, next week we are going to New York and we'll be doing a recap of Real Housewives of New Jersey at the Town Hall. It's going to be a huge show, one of our biggest of the tour. And then 2 days later, we'll be going down to Washington, D.C., where we'll be recapping Vanderpump Rules. Both shows have huge audiences, but there still are tickets left. So go to watchacrappens.com and get your tickets. Those theaters are pretty epic. So it's a pretty special thing when we get to do them. And we want you to all be there and join us. And then in June, it's it's the sprint to the end. We have San Diego, we have St. Paul, we've got Chicago, we've got Columbus, we have Boston, and we finish things up in Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. And then after that, the tour is over. So then you just have to wait until next year. So don't miss it. Go to watchacrappens.com to get your tickets. And of course, watchacrappens.com is where you have links to our Patreon as well. Or you can just go directly to patreon.com/watchacrappens and get access to Crappens on Demand. We did Vanderpump Rules and we did Summer House this week there. You can watch us, not just listen. And we also have our bonus episodes. So go check out that link and you'll get all the details and all the good information there. And now, without any further ado, Restaurant Wars Chefs.
Wow, time for Restaurant Wars. So we start where we began last time, Charbel getting his butt kicked out of here. And they're in the stew room, and Amar's like, oh, Charbel's talented. You know, he won the first challenge by cooking an onion. So and Sarah, it's pretty amazing that he got kicked off. And Sarah's like, can I tell you a story Charbel told me? And he said not to tell anybody. He's 63 for real. Okay.
Yeah, and he said, anyone actually believe he was 25? It wasn't an onion. It was a bag of cocaine. Yeah.
Anyone actually believe that motherfucker's actually 25? Come on.
Listen, he said he watched you, Ali, on TV. And he said, that's what I want to be. He said, I watched Ali on TV. That's what I want to be. I want to be on Top Chef Mina. And then he made it happen. And Ali's like, well, you know, when I won, I was the youngest to win. Thank you. Thank you. I'm a very humble person, as you know. And I made Top Chef history. Thank you. And people were like, you're probably the best there's ever been. Thank you. And I was like, surely no one could ever beat me. And then he came on and he was the youngest, which was amazing for him to be the second person to be the youngest, not the first one, which was me, of course. But it's great to know that I'm still the more iconic one. Thank you. It's great to be such a humble winner. That's what I'm trying to say.
He might not have been the first youngest, but he was the first Muppet to ever leave Bert and Ernie sketches and have a role on Top Chef. I don't know how I just saw that in the clip totally from today, Bert. But I was like, oh my God, Bert. How did I not see this?
You know, if Bert was claiming to be young, so that way he could say he was the youngest winner, but secretly 63, that's Charbel, you know?
So Buddha's like, well, the middle is shrinking, isn't it? No one's safe now. And Nicole's like, I would really love to be in the finale. I really got to find my groove. You know, like Stella, just get my groove back. Just get so mad. Just throw his clothes out on the lawn. Just say, I've had enough of your scallops. Just get him out there, you know? That's me, Nicole. Super angry. Get that groove back, girl.
The moment that Canada Smile said, I haven't been on the bottom yet and I want to be in the finale, I was like, well, it was lovely having you here on this show. Can't wait to see you get eliminated by the end of the episode. Why did you curse yourself just now? You were one of my favorites.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of snobbery going on that got her kicked off that I don't appreciate, but we'll talk about that later. For now, congrats on winning $10,000 for that baby, because you got the ultimate prize, a mouth to feed. Congrats.
Hello, so, by the way. Hi, chefs. This is head judge Padma Lakshmi. I just want to say, I overheard Buddha saying something about the middle shrinking. You surely were not discussing my dear friend Gail Simmons, were you? Okay, bye.
Buddha's like, well, cheese to Onion Boy. And Sarah says, want Potato Girl, Onion Boy, and Krusty Blanket Sarah. Sorry, I'm still here. I'll let myself out.
Still... Sorry, I was talking to my dear friend Ali Wong, and she just gave me that joke right away, so I thought I'd share it.
So Sarah is the next day. Sarah's in the car with Victoire and Nick and Nicole, and she's like, "So, what do you guys think is gonna happen today? I mean, listen, if I was at home, I'd say today's the day someone's gonna fucking conceive a chunky little baby on a blanket by a pool. But we're not in Paducah, all right? We're here in London, so I think it's gonna be Restaurant Wars. Fuck that."
Yeah, and Nicole's saying how she was front of house last time, so she was good at that. So then they all arrive in the kitchen, and Padma's standing there with a very tall lady, sort of like the British version of Whitney Port, on another gel mat.
Hello, guests, chefs, please welcome your guest judge, 3 Michelin star chef, Claire Smith. Welcome, Claire. How's it feel to have so few syllables in your name?
Oh, it's so good to be here. So excited to see you all. I do recognize one person. Hello, Buddha.
Thank you so much, Claire. But please, let's get on with the... Oh, you're talking about one of the chefs.
Oh, right. You do have another television show, don't you? What's that called again?
It's called Taste the Nation with Padma Lakshmi.
The nation. Eating a nation. Sounds disgusting. Well, Buddha, it's good to see you. Been a while. So long that I wondered... Is that a mold of Buddha, or is that the actual person? But it's you. It's you, Buddha.
And Buddha's like, Claire Smith developed me into the person that I am, which is why I brought, coincidentally, a very small mold of Claire Smith.
I didn't know she was going to be here. I was actually going to use her as my finale mold. But spoiler alert. So Claire's like, obviously I know this gentleman, but it's only about what's on the plate. Not favoritism whatsoever. Fuck that, Claire. You're not allowed to host. Get out of here. You can't be a voting judge. That's not cool. I don't like it.
Anyway... We started this competition with 16 stupid people, and there's only half of you remaining, and still Sarah has never been to Paris. Amazing.
I know Fast and the Furious was last week, but I'm wearing a leather motorcycle vest anyway. Vroom, vroom, am I right? Suck it, Vin Diesel, you barely famous person.
Claire, how many Fast and Furious movies have you seen? None? Wow. Anyway, the grand prize is still $250,000 furnished by not San Pellegrino, by some strange upstate New York water, and the title of Top Dummy.
I'm sorry, I have to do that again? Okay. So $250,000 from that one of you wears to run errands instead of a decent outfit? Saratoga. And you'll also win the title of Top
It's the first time I've ever seen someone make a toga out of a quilt. My hat would be off to you if I were not utterly disgusted.
And you're going to win the title of Top Chef. I was like, whoa, Padma, what is she? Top Chef World All-Star. She just had this crazed look in her face. And Claire's like, and I'd just like to remind you, listen, no favoritism towards Buddha, although I have to say, if he brought his plate mold, you're all in trouble. All right? You've never seen a winner until you've actually had to eat your plate.
Now, that being said, Buddha, congratulations. You are the winner of today's elimination challenge. Excuse me, Claire. Jumping the gun a little bit.
I'm sorry. Your restaurant's called Whore.
Core.
Whore.
Core.
Hmm. Okay, whore. So, it's Restaurant Wars.
Wow. For this challenge, 8 people who are not famous are going to compete to the death in a stuffy little kitchen called Whore.
You have just 24 hours to open your restaurant, but only about 9 hours of daylight, so you better turn those tricks quickly. Am I right, Claire?
But first, you all will be trapped in a small room where you'll have to watch every single Fast and the Furious movie. Enjoy.
Vroom, vroom, am I right? So, Claire's like, you'll be cooking in my restaurant. And Buddha says, it's a 3-star Michelin restaurant. It's an honor to work there. And for the first time, you'll have a professional restaurant person to work with you. I mean, I really don't know what their job is. But one of those people, I say, did you mean to let my water glass get so low?
I've instructed him to shame you any chance he gets. Good luck. So Clara says, This restaurant is my pride and my joy. It's accumulation of my life's work. Oh, congratulations. Your accumulation of your life's work worth 200 square feet in the bottom of some building. Wow.
Well, let me guess. It's a lot of beige. Am I right, whore? All right, everybody. So I'm curious. In all of your countries that Sarah's never been to, do they do restaurant wars?
Or just regular wars?
And Victoria's like, no. And Tom's like, no, never. And he tells us, it's a huge deal. And it's the most challenging thing. These chefs are scared of shit of it. And they cannot talk of anything else. So it's time to get it done. Restaurant Wars, here I am. I'm not afraid of you.
Okay, so only Victoire and Tom haven't done Restaurant Wars. Okay, if everyone would like to point their fingers at them and laugh, now would be the time to do that. Claire, try it out. It's fun.
I just wanted to tell Victor and Tom, don't feel bad. Sarah hasn't been to Paris. All right, now everybody come up here and pick a knife.
Yeah, she goes, okay, everyone, grab a knife gently, gently. Gently, what's this? Is this like, it's like nursery school picking out toys. Okay, everyone, be careful. We just don't want to have another accident with Sarah. I wouldn't want to have her get blood on her cooking toga.
Claire's here. We don't want her to shank somebody for standing on her corner. All right.
So now it's time for Victoire and Buddha get to pick their teams. So Victoire chooses Tom, and Pam is like, Tom? You don't mean Tom Calicchio. That's not fair. He didn't even bring his fedora today.
So is there any reason you picked Tom, Victoire?
And I love when Padma gets bitchy because she doesn't ask that about anybody else, only Tom. She's like,
Tom, seriously? The guy is always lubed up from the Shisa videos?
You do know that really? He's been in the bottom like 5 times in a row, right? Remember his Chopino sandwich? I mean, just think about that for a moment, Victoire.
That wasn't even good enough for Chopino. Am I right, Claire?
And Victoria's like, well, I picked him because he loves vegetables. And Buddha's like, all right, I'm going to take Ali because he's good with the tasting menu. And then Victoria picks Nicole and Buddha takes Amar. And Padma goes, Amar, well, other than his good time personality, it's like, geez, leave Amar alone. He's actually won a couple of times, even though you tried to stop that last week. And don't think I forgot, ma'am, when she's like, Amar's food, gross.
Wow. Enjoy hearing stories about Morocco, a country that apparently only Amar has ever been to. So then, and Buddha's like, yeah, well, I chose Amar because Amar and Ali, they come as a bundle. Oh, just like Gail and Twizzlers. Got it.
Holly says, yeah, it's Poppy and Habibi. She's cute. So, oh my God, I'm sorry I hiccuped. That's what I get for drinking a Topo Chico before the show. So Padma's like, okay, who's your final teammate, Victoire, last chance? And she's like, my angel, Gabrielle. And Sarah
your
is
angel,
last.
Your angel, huh? Your angel. You know who's my angel? Angela Merkel. I guess just like a little bit more famous and powerful than your angel. Anyway, enjoy. Good luck.
How are you going to pick Sarah last? What the fuck? That is so rude. I can't believe she got picked last. I know. And Pat was like, Sarah, that means you're the last one to travel out of America. I mean, get chosen for a team.
Sarah, maybe if you stopped playing banjo for 1 second, people would choose you on their teams.
Sarah, playing spoons with your toes isn't really going to help anything. You're still last. So Sarah, Sarah's like,
I appreciate your impassioned pitch to be chosen first, but I'm just not sure singing the song Shenandoah is really going to move the needle on that one.
So Sarah's like, bring it on, bitches. Picked me last? Well, I think people don't know I came up working in Michelin star kitchens. And then we see a picture of a young Sarah who I wasn't prepared for, really. Holding up, like, what was that thing? Was it like a huge, like, mushroom flower from the sea? What was it?
Oh, it came from Gail's belly button.
This, congratulations, Sarah. We found a picture of you picking the lint out of Gail's belly button. That beautiful. So Sarah's like, yeah, I work for Calcone and David Posey, but the only thing you can do when you're at the underdog is to prove everyone wrong.
All right. That was lovely, Sarah. Now, let's get down to business. Tomorrow, each team must make a tasting menu consisting of at least 4 courses for 50 diners and the judges who'll be seated at Chef's Table along with their very dear friend, Vin Diesel on a television.
You're going to have 5 minutes to cook 5 things and then 20 minutes and $1,000 to go to one store, but then $50,000 and another minute to go to a mall. Then you're going to have to try and find capri pants and make meatballs in them. Does everybody understand?
Also, be sure to use your Gail at the Prom MasterCard. I'm sorry, contactless MasterCard.
You know MasterCard, the circle upon circle. It's like when Gail's doing the down dog, basically. So... create a truly priceless experience for my friends at MasterCard.
And then you'll have a 5-hour cook today where you'll be able to cook all of the ingredients that your teammates most assuredly will buy for you at the store.
Thank goodness we can all trust Tom to make that happen. So they all break up into their teams to talk things over, and Buddha is, you know, boss, of course.
Right.
And so he's like... Yeah, like, you get to pick the teams. It doesn't automatically make you team captain, you know? But he's like, oh, I picked the knife, so I'm team captain. So here's what I want to do. British classics with spins. And Sarah's like, I don't know if my knowledge of British food is really extensive as yours. All right. I mean, do they come on blankets here and, like, pass those crusty blankets down from great-grandmother on down? Or is that just a Paducah thing?
Hi, this may be unorthodox, but I'm just going to come in. How about you guys try French food? Oh, Sarah, sorry. I'll just back out now.
Basically, if we're going to make this work for Sarah Buddha, we're going to have to make some hot dogs on a stick. Okay, my work here is done.
I mean, you thought English food was hard, Sarah. Wait till you try, like, anywhere outside of Kentucky food. So, by the way, Buddha clearly already came up with this plan like 3 months ago, right? He's like, we can do this and we'll call it UK, which stands for United Kitchen. It's a play on words.
And Sarah's like, well, what does everyone else feel? I already said my piece. And they all just look down like they're not going to go up against Buddha. Not because he's mean, but because he just wins so much stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, Restaurant Wars has to have a concept. And if it doesn't have a concept, you've already lost. And everyone's just quiet. So I was like, okay, they don't really seem to be too into this Buddha. Also, you can't have your menu say uck.
Yeah. So then on the other team, meanwhile, this is where I get kind of annoyed because Tom has never done Restaurant Wars, but he just gets in there and is all bossy about it. He goes, okay, well, we have 4 continents here and we need to use that to our advantage. So I had in my mind immediately a roots theme, you know, like because we all have different roots from different continents. I'm like, you know what? This is why he should not be calling the shots here, because anyone who's watched or been in Restaurant Wars knows that the generic global theme never works. Like, and I think that maybe because he cooks on a boat, where I feel like on cruise ships they always have like a global theme, this or that, because they have to appeal to all the people that are coming on. They've got this restaurant, that restaurant. Like, to him it seems like a totally natural thing to do, but that is like a failing strategy on Restaurant Wars, and Nicole's the only one who really pushes back.
Well, I think it could have worked, but they made it because Nicole's actually the one that changes it up, right? Because it is World All-Stars, right? So if they did a world restaurant, like a global cuisine type thing, and they used all of their roots from the countries they're from or whatever, I guess I could see how that could work for this season, just because it's a global mm-hmm. season. But then Sarah's like, well, but could we just do culinary roots? Because, like, I'm Chinese, but my culinary roots are Italian. And I think that's where it gets messed up. Because especially if Padma's one of your judges, like, yeah. if you're going to do a show about where you come from and your roots and the culture, Padma's really into that stuff.
Yeah.
And she's going to want Africa. She's going to want fufu. Is yeah. that what it's called?
That was like, she's going to want that. Fufu. She loved, and he was like, I love fufu. Also,
but yeah.
why are they not using like root vegetables in every dish? I feel like if you call it root, like, I know it's very literal, but I feel like that would have helped.
That's very Buddha of you.
I know, it's very,
we'll
very
call
Buddha.
It root, and then we'll do root, and then we'll play the soundtrack from Roots over the, as people eat.
And then we'll have LeVar Burton come out. But I think that, like...
And then we'll have a whole audience cheering for him because they're rooting for him. But then the only thing people can order is root beer.
And then a dentist will come out and explain some of his work. So...
then we'll all swim down a canal together as we eat sugar.
But I think that, like, if they all used, like, some sort of tubers, it would have at least brought, like, created some sort of connection at the very least. It's so hokey, but, you know, that was my
note. Yeah. Well, once I heard them, that I thought, roots, okay, that's good, it's world. But then I heard, but I'm a Chinese, but I like Italian food. I was like, uh-oh, they're fucked. Because they're fucked. That's not, yeah.
Yeah, they're fucked. Yeah, no, I just knew this was, they were just fucked from right from the start.
And of course, hindsight is 2020, you know, but still.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
From Wondery comes a new series, Flipping the Bird, Elon versus Twitter. A story about what happens when the richest man on the planet decides to acquire a powerful social media company in the name of free speech. But does he have what it takes?
It started off promising.
Or is this all just about Elon?
He's essentially mad that his tweets aren't performing as well as he would have expected them to.
It really just felt like, okay, this really is just a platform being ruled by a dictator who does things on his own whims.
And what will be left of Twitter by the time he's done?
Basically, my entire team was gone. By the end of it, infrastructure was just completely gutted. He'll, like, tweet a thing, and then everyone's like, we gotta work on that now, because he tweeted it.
I'm supposed to believe this man is a genius.
It just felt like everything was kind of descending into chaos.
Follow Flipping the Bird wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to episodes ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
So Buddha's like, all right, back to Buddha. He's like, anyone else have an idea for a concept? Because we have to have one. And everyone's still silent. Yeah. He goes, all right, then. I was thinking of a deconstructed English breakfast. So he gets his way. Yeah. So then I was also thinking, they're fucked. Because whenever it's one person who's so sure of everything and so bossy, they lose. So yeah.
That's
and
true
then everyone
too.
Else is just waiting them to throw them under the bus. And they're like, well, Buddha was so bossy, and we never said that. This was Buddha's idea.
And by the way, when he's like, anyone else have an idea? They just know they're not even going to bother giving up an idea because Buddha's going to shoot it down, because that's what he does. It's like, I'm worried that that's a little bit too much not my idea, so I don't think we can do that one.
So he wants to do a deconstructed English breakfast, and Amar's like, an egg dish? Okay, well, then who wants to do cold fish? Anybody? We got to do that.
Yeah, Sarah takes hot fish. So then, and then Buddha's like, well, not that I've thought about this ahead of time, but why don't you do colon skink or whatever it's called, colon skink, and the smoked fish with potato soup, and then you could use like maybe like a garnish and maybe wrap it in this and that. And I was thinking sort of a bowl, like maybe like half a pint, you know, something like that, size of a bowl. I haven't thought about this ahead of time, just off the top of my head.
Yeah, he's really taken over. So then back to the other team. Tom's like, I can do a vegetarian dish to start. And Nicole's like, oh, I can do a seafood pasta. I love pasta.
Why? Why, Nicole? And Tom's like, yeah, so pasta is dangerous on Top Chef, you know? It's more dangerous than getting into a sling and then not harnessing yourself in. And you know, I think I'm going to do something with leeks, you know? Because my family, we only ate what was in season. And leek season is very long, all year long. Nothing but leeks.
So Gabri wants to do some kind of a fish soup, he's thinking, and Victoire wants to do a dessert, but with ingredients from Africa. So then back to Buddha, he's like, what about Cornish pastry? All right, and dessert, we're going to need that. So who's going to do dessert? Me? Okay, I'll do dessert. I can do both, because why not? I can pull off everything. All right, I'll just do everyone's dish. So we can do strawberry and cream, because that's a classic British dessert. And I was like, well, that's lazy. They're not going to like that. You just give them strawberries and cream. Of course, it turns out I'm completely wrong.
They all love it. But yeah.
Because so, it was amazing. It was like not, it was not at all just strawberries and cream.
Right. It's like fancy. So then a vital part of this is that they have to figure out how many plates are going to go out at once. So Buddha's team says they're just going to do two kind of like seatings, and it'll be like 20 plates or 25 plates, whatever it is, it's going to be like 20 at a time. And then Tom is he says, oh, we should start with only like 6 plates come out, so it's slow. And that way we can like ramp up into good service. Not anticipating that by doing it that way, it's actually going to cause a pile up of plates having to go out.
Yeah, it's silly. Like what, you're just going to seat 6 people in the restaurant and then make everybody else wait in line? It's a weird strategy.
Yeah, I didn't understand it.
And Nicole's like, well, maybe more, like, I guess start with 8 covers, maybe? And she's like, okay, whatever. So they have to split up to shop because they're going to a bunch of different stores. They get to go to a great veggie store, a great protein store, but then Whole Foods with the rest of their money. And so Tom and who's he with?
I think he's with Sarah. No, he's not with Sarah. Tom is with
Nicole.
Nicole? With Nicole, I think.
No, because he's getting vegetables.
Is he with Gabri?
No, because he forgets Gabri's thing. So I guess if he's not with Nicole, Gabri.
Victoire?
So he's with Victoire, yeah. So Gabri's like, could you please get me some cauliflower? And then we get a utz. And I was like, uh-oh. I love that the editors are just giving us everything. Because also when Sarah said, I'm going to do pasta, it went utz. I was like, a pasta? Tss.
Yeah, wow. Pasta's dangerous. Why would, like, of all the times to do pasta at Restaurant Wars, I'm scared. So yeah, they're all at the supermarket. There's like a little bit of drama because Nicole can't find like fresh lobster and she needs fresh lobster. And then there's shopping and like Tom checks out. Now Tom has been the center of grocery drama before, like when he used too much of the budget and Sylvia went home because of it. So now here he is fucking things up again. Because he leaves an entire basket on the floor and leaves. And that basket had many cauliflowers and some mascarpone in it.
I know. And Sarah tells Buddha, she's like, is that your cart, Buddha? He goes, nope, must be the other team's. And she's like, I hope they don't need it. I was like, oh, God, that's shitty. Because you can't call them. Or I know it's a competition, but I was like, is that fair? Do you think they should have called him? I think they should have.
I don't know if they could or they were allowed to. You know, I think it's just the other team.
Oh, well, it's just so sad. And it makes me sad because I really like Tom. I think he's so cute and I love his personality and I love that he cooks, but you just can't trust him to go to the store and that means he's unmarriable.
I feel like I like Tom also, but I also feel like in some ways he's like self-involved, lightly self-involved where he's just not paying attention to anyone else's shit but his own. And I don't think that's great. Like, I don't like how he took charge of this challenge without having a frame of reference of doing the challenge. And I don't like that he was left an entire cart of groceries behind.
Oh, I love the Tom. Tom, I'm here for you. Okay. So then we go to Whole Foods and Tom says, how much leek do you need, Sarah? And she's like, I'd like it all if possible. And he goes, take it. So see, there he is being Jennifer.
He turned into Jennifer Aniston. Oh, I'll take it all.
Sorry guys, it's a long day over here. He is being sweet, you know.
I think he's nice, but I think that he's actually pretty alpha, I think, and sometimes his alpha is like he needs to not be alpha in certain situations. He needs to let other people in.
But my brother. So then they're back at the kitchen now, and Team Uck, Buddha's talking about his full English breakfast. He's going to do a coddled egg, truffle toast, and a tomato tea.
Yeah.
Listen, I get that I'm just an American. I get it, you know, and this does come from ignorance, but that none of that sounds good to me. I'm sorry. Have y'all ever heard of Fruity Pebbles? Now that's a breakfast. French toast made with Fruity Pebbles.
There you go. So the second course is going to be Scal Vadouvan. And then the third is going to be the Cullen Skink. And then the fourth is going to be a lamb and Cornish pasty. And then the final thing will be that strawberry and cream. And then
I love the dish Cullen Skink. I just love that. It just sounds like a Steven Spielberg movie. Cullen Skink.
Cullen Skink. Wow. Well, for the longest time, we thought someone was calling out to Gail, but that's when we thought they were saying, call and stink.
Then we thought they were calling for whore, the guest judge today. What's her name?
Claire.
Carol.
Claire.
Then we thought they were calling out for Claire and saying, calling skank. But no, it's a fish dish. It's a fish dish.
Everyone who has actual vowels in their last name, step forward. Oh, sorry, Claire. Your last name's spelled S-M-Y-T-H. Unfortunately, that sometimes Y is not sometimes today. Step back, confident face.
I'd like to buy a vowel, not you, Claire. The only thing consistent about that whore is her consonants. Whore, consonant, whore.
Wow. How's it feel to be a buzzer when someone tries to buy a vowel on Wheel of Fortune? There are none.
So, Team Root. First course is going to be a chestnut leek dish by Tom, which, listen, I'm vegetarian, but even I was like, what else?
I was into that. I love leeks. I've been threatening to make a leek thing for lunch for like 2 months. I keep on buying leeks and I'm like, I'm going to make this roasted leek for lunch. And I keep never making it. And I keep throwing out or sending them to stock. These leeks, I keep on doing it. You know what? Today will be the day.
I've made them a couple of times in the past few weeks because I've been learning all this new vegetable cookery. And I was doing this thing where you take your cast iron skillet, which, by the way, I already ruined. Yay for me. And
no, you did not ruin it.
I ruined it. Trust me.
You can fix it.
I turned on the clean oven thing and forgot that my skillet was in there. And it like turned it to rust.
No, but you can save it. I mean, you can save it.
When it's rusty?
Oh, yeah. It can come back. I'm telling you, there's a whole world of saving your cast iron skillet content out there. It's really fun. Go after this. Oh. You're going to go down a rabbit hole. It's going to be so fun. You can save it. Okay. Don't worry. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was doing really good skillet things where you put all the vegetables. I portioned the vegetables. And I would find the cook times, you know. But I would portion the vegetables into like pie triangles in the skillet and oil them and salt them. And that was it. And then just roast the fuck out of them. Mm. And one of those vegetables was leeks. And it is delicious because they came out caramelized. And they were just so good.
So the leek thing that I was the leek thing that I wanted that I've been wanting to make is it's in the Six Seasons vegetable book. And it's basically like roasted leeks. And then you put like you make like an anchovy vinaigrette. And then you also soft boil an egg, and you basically put the soft boil egg on the roasted leek and then this vinaigrette. And I'm telling you, it is delicious because those leeks, they get like toasty but creamy on the inside. Like, ooh, it is perfection.
Yeah, delicious. That sounds great. Okay, so then Sarah is going to be using leeks as well. So she's going to do this.
She's going to wrap
her what's leeks. It called? Oh, I just said the name of the dish.
The Vadouvan or whatever. No, the Cullen Skink.
Yeah, Cullen Skink.
Cullen Skink.
Yeah. Yeah. Cullen Skink. Cullen Skink. So she's going to elevate her Cullen Skink by wrapping the leeks around the fish loins. And then she's going to chill them so they get hard. And then she can slice them as little circles.
And I was
like that.
It sounded wonderful, but I was scared. Yes. Here's why I was scared.
So smart.
Here's why I was scared. A, she's going to sous vide them. So sous vide is usually a kiss of death. And B, chilling is usually a kiss of death because what is like the most common thing that happens on Top Chef? Oh, I'm gonna have these set up overnight and then I'll finish the cook tomorrow. And then the next day, they didn't set up overnight. So I was like, something's going to go wrong here. Sous videing and chilling, it's bad.
Oh, I was like, wow, that sounds great. So then Victoria is doing tiramisu because that's the first dessert she learned in Italy, and she just wants to make it with ingredients from Africa but use the technique from Italy. And I thought that was a really smart move. Mm-hmm. That sounds smart.
Super Rudy.
And then Super Rudy, I'm rooting for you.
Yeah.
So then Gabri is talking, he's tasting it, and he's like, you need to add some salt flavors, some salt, so those flavors will pop.
And I was like, oh no, Victoire. No. then I was worried for Victoire.
Basically every chef were like, oh no, this will be terrible. This can go all wrong.
We love every chef on this season. That's very rare. We usually hate at least half the cast of this show. I love everybody on it, so I don't want anybody to fail. And especially love Victoire, and she has not had the best couple of weeks. Yeah. And so when you can't make tiramisu taste right, I'm like, oh no, she's fucked. If she can't make a good tiramisu, she's fucked.
Yes. So now Gabri's looking for cauliflower because he's making this thing where it's going to be like squid. It'll be like black and white squid ink and then also cauliflower puree. And he can't find it. So Tom's like, no, I definitely bought it. 1,000,000% I bought it. It is absolutely there. Now was the time when you had to look for your cauliflower because I definitely have it. It is definitely bought and I definitely purchased it. And there definitely is not a cart of cauliflower on the floor of a store at the moment.
And he's like, but I don't have it. And so he's like, you bought it, right, Victoria? She goes, yeah. And he goes, but I don't see it. She goes, well, but we buy it. And he goes, but you can buy it, but I still don't see it. And so Sarah's like, oh, by the way, when you guys left the grocery store, there was a crate that had cauliflower. And time? And time? Did it have time, too? She's like, yeah. He's like, oh, well, thanks a lot. Apparently it's in the store. Huh. No wonder. Picky Lasty said it's in the store still. So apparently, you know, her fingers are broken and she can't call phones. So
Tom tells us, well, it breaks my heart a little bit. Sorry, Gabri, if you hear this. It's like, okay. Like, that's the extent of his apology. So Gabri's bummed because one of his most important ingredients is missing. And Buddha is stressed because he feels like he's the team leader. And he's like, oh, I know I'm the team leader because I made a mold of a small badge, and I've put some gelatin in there, and I'm going to wear that badge around that says Team Leader.
Buddha. Team Leader. So Sarah is, going around, bossing everybody around. And then they're packing up. It's already time to pack up, and now it's the next day. And so Nicole's driving, or she's in the car with her team, and she's like, I heard what the other team is doing. Their concept is UK cooking with their own twist on it. I mean, that sounds risky to me. I mean, you're serving a UK chef, right? Ah, they love pasta here, don't they? Do they love pasta here? Is this a pasta town?
So then they arrive at Core, 3 Michelin star restaurant Core. Please welcome Rob Rose. He's the restaurant director who's going to help all you idiots in the kitchen. Or I guess with the front of house. Sorry. So they're all like, they're doing their last minute cooking. It's starting off with the root team. They're doing their cooking. Rob Rose is helping out. He's coming up with a plan, coming up with the menus. He's telling the waiters what to do, waitresses. And Nicole,
by the way, this is the beigest place I've ever seen. I've never seen a beiger place. It is thighs. That's, I would say, the design aesthetic was based on thighs. That's the white lady thighs. That's all I can think of.
White lady thighs. So Nicole is horrified to learn that her tortellini did not make the travel very well because the moisture in the filling overnight or in the car seeped through, and so she has to redo hastily like half of her tortellini.
And she's like, why wouldn't I just make 40 huge fucking pastas? Like, am I new to this? Why would I do multiple tiny ones? Like, dumbass. So she's rushing to do that. And then everyone's cooking. Like, it's a cooking show. So that's what's happening. And so Gabri comes up to Nicole and he's like, can I use the mixer? And she's like, no, I need 40 minutes. I need him for 40 minutes. He goes, 40 minutes? I need to make sorbet. And she's like, are you yelling at me? Okay, maybe you could just do liquid nitrogen while I'm getting all this stuff prepared and make ice cream that way. So he does, and it like puts fog all over the table.
It's all the drama. Drama of like the last few minutes and everything. And then Nicole's very kerfuffled, and now it's time to open. The restaurant's opening and the guests are coming in. They're sitting down, and one guest is like, what is the thread here? I don't understand it, because like the guests are trying to be like all tough on
the food. Quiet down over there, real person. Okay, no one asks for your opinion. You are an extra. You keep it to yourself. I hate when people do that. Because they, in America, they're really bad at that. Every time they have one like this, people are like, this needs salt. My palate cannot take this. You're like, oh, shut up.
This reminds me of Alain Ducasse. Okay, like, what? I mean, this is just like, this is no Danielle Balut. Am I right? Because I know that chef. So the judges sit down.
I'll tell you who wouldn't make this. John Legend's wife.
So the judges sit down at the chef's table, and Tom's like, so, Claire, how's it feel seeing a different chef in your kitchen right now? And she's like, honestly, it's nerve-wracking. There's a bunch of stupid American types just running around. He's like, well, actually, they're from all around the world. They're American to me. If they're not British, they're American, and they're stupid.
Basically, it's traitors cooking in my restaurant, so there's that going on. Well, they'll be judged for their service and their menu font, but most of the focus will be on the food. And what the chefs don't know is that we have a secret critic in the dining room. That lady over there asking about themes. Just kidding, normal poor person. You're welcome for the free food, dear.
What the chefs don't know is that we have a secret restaurant critic that has a camera right in his face all night long. They'll never guess.
Jimmy. And he's a journalist and food critic. And he's like, this is cool. This is exciting. Look at this menu. I'm thrilled already. I was like, wow, tough critic. So then Tom is like, that's dastardly.
Huh? And Gail's like, I'm so excited to speak to him and see if his experiences were the same as ours. Gail, relax. Who gave her Nestle Crunches before she walked in, for crying out loud?
Same experience. Are you hoping he wasn't asked to prom either, Gail? There.
So German Tom comes out with his dish, and he's like, we decided to showcase, a root of our backgrounds here. So here is a comfy leek, because it's always leek season when we grow up. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh, leek season time. It's leek velouté with black garlic chestnut puree. Enjoy.
And it's pretty. It came out looking really pretty. And Gail's like, Tom, what was the strategy for service? Did you pick an executive chef? And he's like, well, it's kind of team spirit. You know, we do it together. Okay, enjoy. And he leaves and it goes, ats.
I understand that doing everything together, it's like when all the judges go and try to wipe the mayonnaise off of Gail's cheeks. It takes a village.
By the way, did he answer your question, Gail? And did Bob Fosse give you permission to steal that outfit from a terrible B 1960s show film? What are you wearing? She's wearing like a white tuxedo jacket skirt, which is actually cute. I like to see Gail branching out from patterns. I'm proud of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Claire's like, well, I quite like the chestnut and the black garlic, even though it was conceived by four boorish people in my precious kitchen.
And Jimmy's like, oh, very intense, very nice. And then there's a lady, like the food, we would call her the, what do you call them? Not a runner, but the lady who works the line, getting all the orders together. I forget what you call them.
Expediter?
Anyway, yes, expediter. So she's there. Well, it's not what they call her. They have a fancy name because it's there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But she's like, okay, here's what we need. I hope this isn't going to stress anybody out back there. 18 pastas immediately. And Nicole's like, oh my God.
All right, here, since I know you're not British, let me say it, speak it slower for your unsophisticated country from wherever you came. 18 pastas right now, please.
As Padma likes to call it, Gail's breakfast. Can we get that up in the window, please? So Nicole's freaking out, and everyone's noticing that they're behind.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's friend, the critic's friend, is like, well, I think they've forgotten all about us. Yes, and we should. You're the friend. You be quiet too, normal person. Okay? You're not Jimmy. I don't want to hear from you.
Yeah, and a lady's like, can you check on our tortellini for us? And Rob Rose, the maitre d', is like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll go check on it. But I assure you, it will come. Fucking Americans ruining our 3 Michelin star experience. I'm Rob Rose. After all, I don't do bad service.
And then Tom says, the tortellini is a different dish to make, but Nicole didn't want to make more than 6 pasta at a time, so we just tried to recover from that. Weren't you the one who wanted to do 6 at a time? So confused.
That's what I thought, because Nicole is saying the issue is that by starting slow, we're not like turning over the tables enough, I guess, or it's like not. So then they all, right?
Then everybody sat at one time. So it's staggered at first, but then everybody's slamming them, I guess.
I guess so.
So Padma's like, "Hi, Nicole. When you're always late, you'll never get a date. You guessed it. We call it Gale time."
Can you tell us about this pile of sloppy dough in front of us?
She goes, "Well, this is a shellfish tortellini, which I occasionally call ravioli over the course of the episode. It has lobster, king prawn, and vermouth beurre blanc."
Wow, blank. That's my expression. When I taste this piece of shit, Nicole, get out of my face.
And she's like, "My culinary career has been in both French training and Italian, so I blended those things." And Claire's like, "Not the most refined tortellini." "I know, but she's our tortellini, right, Gail?"
Wow, that's a lot of commentary about someone who isn't friends with Vin Diesel on a TV screen.
And Gail's like, "The pasta dough was thick and uneven. Takes one to know one. Am I right, my little tortellini?"
So, and Jimmy was like, "You know, Jimmy thought it was worth the wait." And then it cuts to some lady. She goes, "No, no, you don't like it.
No, wasn't.
No, no,
no." So then Gabri's dish, and Padma's like, "Well, here's our third course. Hi, Gabri."
Did you notice how she said hi to him? Like, she loves him or something. She does. She loves the gays, I think. So he has a poached sea bream with black, I don't know how to say this, huatape, and trout caviar. And then cuts to some lady in the dining room going, "So good. So good.
Quiet, non-famous person in the poor people section.
I'll bet you actually drove a car here. How sad for you. Be quiet."
"Why don't you go back to where you live, which is also where the subway is, the underground."
So Jimmy says that it's really good. It's psychedelic. And Gail's like, "Beautiful notes here. The fish was delicate. There was a lot of sauces that kind of got blanketed together. And after Sarah's story about blankets, really doesn't make me very hungry."
I like that, Gail. You were almost cruel for a second.
So, and Claire's like, "It needed another element, another texture. Oh, God, I wish it had some cauliflower." Okay, you're a little heavy-handed there, Claire. Okay?
Claire,
stick on your corner, whore.
Claire, do you wish it had something beige in it? Is that what you wish it had? A beige texture?
I feel like I'm sitting on the set of Silence of the Lambs in here. Jesus, did Buffalo Bill decorate this place?
Oh, you know what this dish could probably use, Claire? A vowel. I guess you don't know anything about that.
So Tom's like, "Yeah, and you know this dish, it's a lot of sauces, and just going from that pasta dish, it's too similar. You know, I mean, this isn't pasta at all or has anything chewy on it, really. But I guess both have sauces, so, you know, it's a lot like my son. Just doesn't work. It doesn't work."
It's like Gail's place after a blackout. All that ice cream just turns into sauces.
So then they sell out a palate cleanser, which is also by Gabri, which is a grapefruit and citrus sorbet.
This isn't tiramisu. Oh, what is this? I mean, I thought I was getting tiramisu. Now I've got something completely different. It's like having a son who says, "Dad, I want to follow in your footsteps. I want to be a great chef. Teach me everything you know." And then he goes, "I becomes a bartender. What the hell?"
He's like, "Well, you know, everything's been enjoyable, and we've enjoyed everything." And Padma goes, "Good. I'm really glad to see all those poor people having so much fun in the kitchen." Poor people having fun. It's why I instruct my driver to knock over fire hydrants whenever we see one approaching.
And then Padma, so they really like the sorbet. And Padma goes,
"I really like this palate cleanser. Also, you know what I would like? Some hair cleanser for Gail. I think that would really help her out."
Claire goes, "It's really worked as a palate cleanser, but not really as a face cleanser. Am I right? Look at Gail. Stupid Gail. It's squinting Gail."
Actually, I think that when Padma does, like, Padma does that thing sometimes where if she has an opinion, but she hasn't quite said it first, but someone else says something, she likes to sort of step on it and make it seem like it was her opinion first. So when Claire's like, "This is really good. I love it. This is a great palate cleanser. I said it first, Claire."
I beat Claire to the punch. So then we go to Victoire plating her tiramisu, and she calls it tiramisu my way, which I think is so cute. They're like, "What do you want to call this?" "Tiramisu my way."
And so she plates it, and it's made with rice flour. It's a rice flour cake that has mascarpone and plantain cream.
Yeah. Tom's like, you know, flavor-wise, yeah, it's pretty interesting. I thought it was pretty interesting, you know. It was really good. She didn't do anything crazy, like serving curry as a condiment. Who would do that? So then Gail's like, I thought it left a beautiful taste. The taste was wonderful. It had the beautiful taste. I'm glad I was the first one to say that. Thank you.
Wow, the taste in my mouth is incredible. And Claire's like, it lacked a punch. I'm missing a hit. And Padma's like, here, hit Gail.
Her face is right here. And it's not hard to miss.
Take one for the team, tortellini.
Here, I found a crust of bread on the floor under Gail's feet. Just use it as a baton.
So then Padma's like, wow, I'm loving this version of Restaurant Wars. I can't wait to see what the next scene puts down for us. We should go over there. Hope to see you soon, guys.
Excuse us, we're gonna go for hang out with my dear friend, Mr. Bean. Bye.
So now the next team is driving over for their turn. And Sarah's like, you guys look pretty good back there. You ready to do it? And Buddha's like, today the key is just being fucking ready. It's everyone understand? That's the key.
That's why I have a mold of a key that says ready on it.
So then they get to the kitchen. They have an hour and 45 minutes, just like the last team. And They cook. I mean, they're cooking. What do you want?
And they're cooking. And Ali is stressed about presenting British food to Clara Smith. But he's like, he's adding Middle Eastern flavors to his Cornish pasty. But he's also using phyllo dough, and it's drying out, and it's slowing him down. And he's like, just not able to focus on the rest of his dish because the phyllo dough is taking up all of his time.
Sarah's North Sea cod dish has worked out, and she's going to serve it with a smoked chowder, which
yum
sounds for me. Good. And Amar is, yeah, me too. And Amar is doing a scallop tartare, but then he's going to serve that cold and use a warm butter sauce, which honestly sounds nasty to me. It doesn't sound good.
Yeah, I don't love that. And then Buddha's working on his English breakfast. He goes, well, you know what they say, English breakfast is so good. You can have it 3 times a day. Or an hour, in Gail's case. Bless her heart.
If they're Cadbury's, anyway. So then Rob Rose comes in. He's like, anything I can help you with? And Sarah's like, oh, yeah, all right, I got it. Here's what we're going to do. Here's notes. Here's 5 pages of notes. This is just a sketch of a blanket with cum on it. I just wanted to show you a little of my culture, okay, in case you ever want to come visit Paducah. And then here's, like, descriptions of everything, every ingredient we're using. And I love that he has, like, literally half an hour now to train the staff, and she's given him a whole book of stuff. But he loves it, you know, because he's a professional. He's like, because we have all of this to teach us. This is what we do, waiters. We learn.
He's like, because this team actually cared about what they were doing in their restaurant, we can flourish as a wait staff.
Yes.
Unlike those losers at Root. So
the guests arrive, and it's the UK kitchen, guys. And Jimmy's like, oh, I got a slightly different table this time. I don't know how I think of this, but I do like this friend a lot better. Do you have anything to say, friend? No? Good. That's why I fired the last friend.
So Lynn. Oh, Lynn is the lady who's like the expert. She's like, we have 4 covers, 4 more covers now, and 4 more after that, you idiots. Come on now, there's 3 Michelin. My reputation is being ruined on camera because of you idiots, so get it together.
And they're serving them course by course, right? And you know that you have to serve 50 plates. Just keep making 50 plates. Why just does there need to be an expediter? The expediter doesn't even need to be there. Just pump out your plates until you've made 50, okay?
So then one of my favorite things with the Restaurant Wars is when Padma pretends she's an actual customer. So she goes up to the hostess. She goes, hi, we'll have a table for 4. We're, last name is Lakshmi, party of celebrities. Thank you so much.
Formerly Rushdie. Is that in your notes there? Is that in your notes? Okay. Hi. Those are just very normal people.
Just normal people. Hi, I might be down there as
Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Issue 2023 Centerfold Padma Lakshmi. Thanks so much.
I just want to show every woman that they can also look beautiful at 52, just like me, a renowned supermodel and television host.
Hi, sorry, we may be just a smidge late because we came from Smart People's prom tonight. Do you still have a table for the celebrities available?
We'll take a booster seat for the one that looks like a tortellini. Thank you.
So they go over to their table for four, and they can see the chefs, obviously. And Padma's like, wow, looks like they're working hard in there.
It's like Gail trying to open up a Twinkie package.
So first course is Buddha's deconstructed English breakfast. It's lemongrass and tomato broth to drink in the one glass, and curdled egg, black pudding, and tomato tea.
Black pudding? What's black pudding?
That's New Jersey. black pudding, two appearances on Bravo in the past few weeks. Amazing. So yeah. Buddha's like, you know, we're from different parts of the world, so we're going to try to put our own spin on the food.
Oh, that's like when Gail tries to use a tomahawk steak as a dreidel, just putting her own spin on the food.
So Gail gives the highest compliment coming from Gail.
Huge.
This is the hugest thing Gail can ever say to you. The egg was beautifully done. Because I've never seen Gail more upset than when her eggs are not cooked right. In the first season when she was like, Frank, how could you service this burnt, charred, rubbery egg? I was like, oh my God, who is this lady?
Oh, I think she was talking about Claire. When you said egg, did you mean the food or did you mean Claire? It's sort of hard to tell the difference between the two.
So Claire's like, oh, the black pudding was too crispy. I like it a bit softer. And Tom's like, it was a punch. It was a punch. That's what it was. You know what? It's interesting because we were going in for the last meal there, and now look, it's punching us. We needed that in the last one. Just more punches. That's what we need. Oh God, just don't put any alcohol in the punch, because then you'll be a mixologist and I'll have to give this restaurant a lose, just like I had to give my my brutes.
Yeah, you know what? I liked it. It's just like, it was assertive. It was like a punch in the face. It's like this food said, it's like, we're here. I'm here. We are here.
Oh, like Gail going through the bargain bin at Dress Barn. Yeah, won't let anyone get close to it.
So Jimmy's like, whoa, this tea is like a wine, isn't it? It's got complexity. And Claire's like, oh, look at that. You can see Amar's good in the kitchen. He's very confident.
I hate him. Hi, Amar, hope you die. Stick a needle in your eye. You're a really smelly guy.
Hey, Claire, I hope you don't get any more crispy black pudding. You know what really softens things up? Vowels. Sorry.
So course two comes out. It's scallop tartare with the vadovant and pickled veggies. This is Amar's, where he's used the chilled scallops, but then topped it with the warm butter. So Padma's like,
so Amar, are you having a good time?
Every time she talks to Amar, I feel like she's just saying, you're never going to win this.
Hey, Amar, remember on like Top Chef Portland when you thought you were like elevated to judge status? Ha, but now you're a contestant and I get to rule you. Ha!
He's like, oh yeah, I'm having a good time because I have a chef counter too at my restaurant. So it's always fun to see a chef counter. And Gail's like, it is odd to put a warm sauce on a cold scallop, but we all enjoyed it.
I feel like there's a joke in here somewhere. Cold scallop, warm sauce, something about, I don't know, Gail's face. Can we workshop this a little bit?
I'm not even going to try it because honestly, it's too much of a stretch and I don't want to make Gail jealous.
Oh, that's so funny.
So Gail's like,
Claire, who? Claire.
Yes, my name is Claire. My restaurant is called Core. Whore, that's right. That's what I was trying to say.
Hey. So why would you call your restaurant Core? Called Whore, Gail.
Gail just wants to know if you have any scraps of apple hanging around. So Claire's like, well,
don't ever say Core around Gail. She's going to think she has to do a crunch, and then she's going to call Taco Bell for a wrap supreme.
Claire's like, well, core actually translates to heart in a lot of languages. Oh, I know languages. Exacto. That was Italian. You're welcome.
Well, people find fine dining pretentious, and I want to get rid of that, which is why I'm using a word that nobody uses for heart to heart. So people, stupid people, can actually say, did that mean heart? What, did we just eat a heart? But then someone smarter than them will say, no, the food comes from the heart. And then everyone will go home feeling a bit more educated. God, I hate fine dining.
You know, I just think that fine dining is so pretentious, so I decided to name my restaurant after a Hilary Swank movie where she drills a machine into the center of the earth. I thought that would really, really, quite literally bring this restaurant down to earth.
So Buddha is like, Claire's here and I'm sweating, I'm starting to panic. So the third course is his, I guess, right? No, it's Sarah's.
Sarah's colon skank, and which looks beautiful because we see the fish with the leek wrapped around it. It's like gorgeous. And she comes out with it and Padma's like, so how's it been working in there? Is it sort of like being crammed in the Parisian subway? Ha, ha, ha. You won't even know.
And Claire is like, I love the dish. Beautifully cooked fish. Absolutely beautiful. I love how delicate the smoke is. What do you think about that, Claire? And you I say kinda, anything about delicate smoke, stupid.
I guess I kind of made the delicate comment first here at the table. So, sorry, Claire. You got to be a little faster.
Yeah, nice try, future stealing my delicate comment.
Claire, if you're thinking about piggybacking on my delicate comment, you're too late. The window is closed.
So Tom's like, the only way to improve this is, you know what? To shave a whole lot of truffle on top of this. That's what we need. And Gail goes, yes!
Not lint, Gail. The mushroom.
Ali's pasties are fine, but he's like, so anyway, this is where he gets into that crunch, and he basically doesn't put a lot of sauce on because his sauce reduced too much, so because he's paying attention to his phyllo dough. So now he serves lamb loin with frika and apricots, but then a Cornish pasty on the side on like a separate plate with like napkins because it gets handheld. Strange presentation.
Super weird. Yeah, really weird presentation. And Claire's like, quite far from a Cornish pastique. This is more meat than I'm used to. Well, yeah, it's like the first time I took Gail to a trucker rally. I'd never seen so many numbers flying at her.
So Gail actually managed to crush a small car. I have never seen the dinosaur car thing actually run out of the stadium scared. But that's what happened when Gail stepped into that arena.
For years, they showed Gail crushing the trucks under the Sunday clip.
So, to be fair, she thought they were all Mars bars. It was an honest mistake.
She prefers eating those like tortillas.
Have you ever seen a Chevrolet wrapped in a tortilla? I mean, she really did amazing things in that arena.
Oh, God. Okay, so Tom's like, wait, you know what? This is a little dry. And Jimmy's like, this is dry at his table. And Tom's like, wait a minute, but I see him in the kitchen, and he's putting jus on the plate. Excuse me, I'm getting up. And Padma goes, I want some sauce.
If you see any sauce in there, please ask for some and put some on the side so Gail can use it on her face. Thank you.
I love when Padma just gets so angry over nothing.
I want sauce.
So Tom goes in there. He's like, oh, hi, Ali. Hi. And Ali's like just looking at him terrified. And he goes, okay, just wanted to look. Okay, false alarm then. False alarm. And Gail's like, well, yeah, false alarm. Dish was naked.
It was glaringly naked. Well, I guess he was just trying to match the decor in this place. Am I right? So Tom's like, well, I mean, even if he didn't have it, he should have had it. He should have had some jus. Why do you not have any jus in here? This should have been nothing but jus. You know what? Call this restaurant NBJ. Nothing but jus. Always be jus-ing.
So then dessert is strawberry cream.
And Buddha.
Wow. And Buddha's like, this has basil ice cream and it has strewn goat milk. What did he say? No.
Strufam, Struafum, Struafum, that's what I wrote.
Strawberries and with milk basil gel. Cream.
Basil ice cream, strawberry foam, milk gel, and inverted meringue.
And actually, none of these are strawberries. It's actually chocolate put in a mold of strawberries, and one of them has Claire's face on it. Enjoy.
And the inverted meringue is me just doing the meringue backwards.
The first ever animated mold.
So Claire's like, God, I love that man. Not that it will matter in judging, just so everyone knows. Anyone else thinking of Buddha naked right now? Me neither.
Hey, Claire, what did you think about this ice cream? Go on, say it, Claire. Say something, Claire.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. You know, I think it's fabulous, guys.
Fabulous.
It was fabulous. I think it was just like more fabulous than even Claire would have said after me.
Yeah, it was a play on strawberry and cream. I mean, yeah, that was fun. It was fun. You know, it was pretty fun.
And Gail's like, the strawberries were intoxicating. Marinated ever so slightly, and the inverted meringue. Whoa, Gail, calm down. All right, you're sliding down your booster chair. Just calm down there.
Oh, Gail, we're at the famous people's table. Try to compose yourself.
So the desserts are, now more desserts are going out to the table. And Jimmy's like, this is really good theater. Really clever. Oh, I'm still scraping. Oh, I love the spice in this. I'm like, well, I felt like I was going to try to make a Spice Girls joke. And I said, you know what, Ben? You don't have to do it today. Not today.
I haven't had dessert since this good and theatrical since I tried the patty le scone.
So there you go.
Thank you.
So now we go to the stew room and Nicole's like, wow, it was a big push at the end there, right? Oh, wow, we did it though. Tom's like, I would do it time and time again.
Pam is like, so everyone, what are your thoughts overall? And Claire's like, really, really good. I think it's really good, personally. Claire, why don't you ever speak up for crying out loud? I mean, you are a judge.
So before we get the chefs out here, it's important to hear from our secret critic. Hi, Jimmy. And Jimmy's like, hello there. We can't wait to hear what you think. Just kidding. Okay, I'll be texting during this. Everybody, just blow me out of this shot.
Jimmy, what was it like to be sitting there with the pores? Was it scary? Was it fun? Was it exhilarating? Was it smelly? Tell me
what it's
like.
Did you show up with zippered pockets? Tell us the truth, Jimmy.
How many people were putting chicken wings into little baggies?
All right, let's start with Root. This is Gail. She's our potato. Now let's talk about the restaurant Root. Jimmy?
He's like, well, Root was a little bit mixed, I would say. You know, there were really certain things that were going on that they were doing, but there were some issues with the service and the pacing. And Tom's like, yeah, I mean, they had an overarching concept. And, you know, to be fair, they had jus. They had jus. They actually were like, you know what I'm going to serve? Jus. But, like, would you be able to know that? You didn't know what the concept was? I don't think so.
How are you supposed to do a culinary version of Fiddler on the Roof with that small number of jus? That's all I'm saying.
It's like a synagogue. It's like a synagogue. After hours. No jus. After our synagogue.
Needs more shoes. So Victoria is talking about how, you know, she's like, well, I think that we saw the people eating and they were going, ooh, ah. And Gabrielle's like, that's a different show, girl. Jeez.
And then Jimmy is like, well, I thought that, you know, our kitchen was actually quite clearly defined. And Pam goes, all right, I don't want to hear any more of your opinion. Let's get them out here. Come on, guys. We're going to surprise them.
Let's get them out here and, yeah, let's get them out here and dangle a can of beans over their heads. I love doing that to poor people. Chefs, I'd like you to meet your fifth judge, Jimmy, the chief restaurant critic at the something something other another.
He is at the Evening Standard, which, as we know for Gail, her Evening Standard, Snicker bars on top of ice cream.
Alone on a couch in front of Netflix. All right.
Netflix and chilled dessert.
United Kitchen, stay here. Root, please go back underground and bury yourselves because you're fucking terrible and you didn't win. Wow. United Kitchen, your team is the winner of Restaurant Wars. And the winners will be receiving $40,000 from MasterCard. Follow your passion and start something priceless.
Gail, take Ding. That swim cap off. I know your passion is swimming in Talenti layers, but it's for the winners, not for you.
So, was there a leader on your team? And Sarah's like, Buddha, you know, had the idea. Amar was, you know, he was at the past leading, you know, and helping. And Ali helped everyone. And I took front of the house steps, all right? We wrote a service manual. So, that was pretty fucking cool. I don't know if you know it, but you were sitting at table zero. So, what do you think of that one, sugar tits?
Wow, that's so insightful. Now, whose idea was it to name your kitchen after an airline? United. That's a bull move.
And Gail's like, I loved seeing you all work in this way. And Tom's like, yeah, you know, the breakfast, English breakfast, that was playful. And the tea was amazing. And Buddha's like, I love English breakfast.
Me
and
Claire's too.
Like, God, I love you. I want to fucking love you. I want you.
Claire, please button up your pussy bow. Come on now, you're... It's just getting a little bit too on. You're a 3-star Michelin chef for crying out loud. Act like a professional.
I'd like to just take a moment and thank Claire, the lady who invented the beige restaurant, for showing up to judging in beige. Wow, Claire. You're really making a statement there.
Gail's like, Amar, you took a very cold and fresh scallop and poured a hot butter sauce on it. Oh, just how you eat your frosted flakes, right?
It's like when Gail comes in from the rain and just pours Hershey syrup all over herself.
It has nothing to do with the rain. It's just a ritual for her.
It's just comforting.
It's just, you know, it's just her excuse to sing her favorite song. Hershey's drops keep falling on my head.
So Claire's like, the cord, that was a real standout, very elegant. I'm so sorry that you're not Buddha. And Jimmy's like, oh yes, you had those nooks and crannies in there, Colin Skink with a chowder, fantastic.
Okay, we're gonna have to send you back to the poor people area, sorry.
So Tom's like, Lee, you know, I came to the kitchen and sorry to freak you out, but we didn't have jus on our plate.
And Ali's like, oh, it was there, it was there. It was just not on top. It was between the lamb and the other thing on there.
And then we see a
and then we see a proof in a picture. You know, we see proof in a picture. And Gail's like, it was just so little. I mean, the flavors of the lamb shone through, but we wanted more sauce.
Give me the sauce. Give me the sauce. Okay, Gail, can someone just put her down somewhere? I think she's about to faint with visions of jus in her hair. Okay.
Claire. Claire and Jimmy from the wherever, whatever paper of Is There Even Paper Anymore? You have the honor. And so Claire's like, thank you, first of all, for an amazing meal in a very beige restaurant. We have an amazing winner tonight. I'm going to let Jimmy do it so it doesn't look like Nepo Babyism. Jimmy?
Well, I'm happy to say the winner for tonight is Patty LaScone. I loved her. It was just a great pun. Give it all the victories.
There's no business like scone business. Am I right? It's Buddha. So Buddha wins. And, you know, I like Buddha. I'm happy that he won. But when people just win all the time, you just kind of hate them, don't you? I mean, isn't that just human thing?
I feel like
where
Sarah
you're like,
won.
I hope your car crashes. You know, hope your car crashes.
Well, because he was like,
you
bossy.
Just won too much.
He was bossy and he won. I don't like when bossy people are rewarded. I would have liked Sarah to win because I thought her leek wrapped fish looked amazing and I love a soup. So
I thought it looked amazing too. I thought it was really creative. And also she's totally underestimated by every fucking person there just because she's a chef from Kentucky, right? She's Kentucky.
Just because she's never been outside of her house before.
Yeah, I think that that's uncool. I think that they all look down on her and that's not fair. And I wanted her to win. But but Buddha did have the winning strategy. A, he was the bossiest.
Yep.
B, he did two things and they both worked really well. So nobody's going to beat that.
Yeah. So Buddha's like, ever since I left restaurant Gordon Ramsay with Claire, I have her in the background saying, Lowenstein, Lowenstein. She's made me a better chef every day. And there's not a lot of things I can do to show my appreciation for the training I got with Claire, except present her with this, a mold of my face that she can use here at Core.
And Claire is like, oh, well, obviously, I'm proud of you. And it's a privilege having you under me,
I'm sorry, I'm sitting on the mold you gave me. All right, there I said it. All right. What I meant to say is it was a privilege having you in me. I'm sorry, in my kitchen. Damn it. God, I love this man.
And please do remember, I'm still significantly better than you. Okay, I didn't want you to think that we're contemporaries or anything.
So Padma's like, step aside, Root, step forward, you potatoes. Your team had our least favorite besides Gale, and one of you will be going home.
How did you come together with this ridiculous concept, Root? Am I right?
And Victoria's like, well, Tom had the idea. Our concept was Root to represent our background. And Tom's like, yes, you know, you sit at the table and you feel like there's a connection between so many different continents and culinary influences. And it's like very playful. And like, you just know this is the moment where you'll finally be better than your brother.
And Jimmy's like, you're describing this and it sounds great, but I didn't get that. Did I? I felt a bit adrift, like Glenn Close listening to the original Broadway recording of a Sunset Boulevard starring Patti LaScone, which was far better, let's face it. Glenn might have found more success, but...
Yeah, you know, your food felt a little bit more the end than West End, if you know what I'm saying.
And Tom's like, well, I was going to do the other Tom. Judge Tom was like,
it felt like a collection of dishes, which is why you were less successful than Restaurant Wars. You know, this is a show where things need to match, not just a collection of different stores. Like,
yeah, like Gale's DoorDash menu. Ever since they started letting you order from multiple places. It's like, wow, Gale, how many different kinds of croissants do you need?
She's actually ordered an entire buffet's worth. So, Jimmy.
By the way, that DoorDash feature is so evil. Where they're like, you have 10 minutes to add things from someplace else, like 7-Eleven or the ice cream store.
I'm like, oh, you're killing me here.
I once used Instacart, and I guess I had some stuff in the cart from like one store, and then I had stuff from another store, and I ordered it, and they like got the stuff from both stores and like brought it to me. And I was like, I didn't know you could do that. And I felt so bad. I felt so bad making my Instacart person go to two different stores.
But the same time, yeah, you know, like, they hated your ass.
But I was like, that's really cool, though. So then,
but it's cool that you can do it. And we'd love to thank Instacart for being our Master Club priceless member of this show. Thank you, Instacart.
Thanks, Instacart. Honestly, Instacart has saved me. So Jimmy was like, he's like, so also, there was like some pacing issues, sort of like Sunset Boulevard itself. There was like a huge gap. What happened there?
And Nicole's like, I got lost because I was thinking about having to order pizza every time order ice cream every time I order pizza now. And it like put me in a different day. I'm like, are we even at work anymore? Where are we?
Because we're at the end of our week here and we're like, now it's like pivoting into thinking about
lunch. It's over, right? So Jimmy's like, all right, well, at one point, yes, like Ben said, like Sunset Boulevard, there was a struggle with facing. Yeah, Gale has that same struggle. That's why we just got her a jazzy. So Nicole's like, well, at one point, they were just like, pick up 18 plates. We need 18 plates. And Tom's like, huh, well, who set up your reservation book? What a dummy.
Tom.
So Tom did it.
Well, I think that the problem that we had was that we were waiting for pastas for a very long time. So, bitch, if you try to come for me one more time, I'm just going to say tortellini 10 times in a row.
I know. I love how quick they are just to throw each other under the bus on this season. Yeah. And Tom's like, well, some of the dishes were good and some of the dishes were, you know, fantastic. And Claire's like, well, I thought it was delicious. I mean, I love vegetable cookery as well. I just love it. What a refreshing thing. A vegetable on a plate. Wow. In England.
But I couldn't help but wondering, Tom, where was the leak that was shaped into my face through a mold that you had made of me? I was sort of missing that element a bit.
Nicole, the tortellini wasn't perfectly rolled, but it was still tasty. It felt all of the dishes, out of all of the dishes, that was really not in place. The rest of the menu was modern, and yours was just so pasta. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's a bit embarrassing that you're representing Canada, a former part of the British Empire. I mean, at this point, you might as well just say you're American with that sort of tortellini. Sorry, everyone. Sorry.
Gabri, your food was cooked nicely, but the sauce all ran together.
Why didn't you put your dish in one of those plates that has different sections on it? I mean, the sauces were all touching each other.
And then they move on to, oh yes, Claire agrees and she says it was missing a vegetable. And Gabri is a nice person and doesn't say Tom did it.
Yeah.
Because I think that might have thrown Tom under if another person blamed Tom, but he didn't.
But he had the best wish on his team, which is why he was going to be safe, I think. And so Tom is like, all right, Victoire, you talked about doing tiramisu your way. I don't think it went far enough. It was like, your way was only like a little bit. And I want your way to go all the way. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. When people say, I'm going to do things my way, you know what my way usually means in my world? Becoming a mixologist. Okay, I don't want to hear it.
So Padma's like, yeah, I mean, if the dining room knew what was in it, they would have appreciated it more. Who doesn't love tiramisu made from cassava flour?
Why didn't you shape your tiramisu into the shape of a plantain? I mean, Buddha does that. What's wrong with you?
But also, can I say I respect Victoire's dedication to Tweel? I mean, she just loves a Tweel. And she sent out a beautiful one this week.
Yeah.
So Victoire's like, well, I apologize. I tried to give my best. And she's like, unfortunately, I can't taste your sorry. Sorry. But go back out to the poor people room, please. Please dine on the buffet we've provided you of your own fingernails to chomp on while we discuss how stupid all of you are.
Oh, and Victoire, one last thing. Exacta linguine lasagna. Yeah, I've been to Italy too.
There, I just did the whole season of Gomorrah for you.
So Padma's like, okay, chefs, we have a lot to discuss. Okay, mainly about like what it's like to go to award shows and travel the world and be in the Soho House, just celebrity things. Okay, bye.
So Gail's like, well, Root had a lack of concept, service. I'm, you know, all of this played into winning or losing. And Tom's like, well, for me, Tom's dish was my fave. I mean, it was complete. It was modern. I couldn't imagine it being served into a liquid and charged $30 for a cup of it. So that was good.
Claire, what did you think? Let me guess. You love Buddha's dish.
It was the most successful dish. It was the most successful dish out of all of them, Tom's.
Did you really think that, even though it actually had this concept called color, Claire?
And Jimmy liked the tiramisu. He thought that was the best of the losers. And Gail's like, yeah, but it had no delivery to me. And that to me was a flaw.
Do you mean it wasn't available on delivery on your app? Or what do you mean by that, Gail?
Did you accidentally erase your DoorDash, Gail? Okay. The pizza man's already been here. Who are you trying to kid?
Gail, stop pressing your finger into the tiramisu. It's not Postmates.
Let's see. So Claire's least favorite was the pasta. Jimmy agrees. And Padma's like, well, there are technical problems with pasta, but I think we're all letting Gabri off. I couldn't differentiate the sauces. And Padma, this is like the third time this season when Padma has thrown a little hissy fit at the end and gone against everyone. Yes. And they don't go with Padma.
No.
And she's got to be getting pissed because they don't take her as seriously, you know?
Well, I mean, this is a serious issue, guys. She has three different sauces, and they touched. Who does that? I'm furious.
Okay, I guess we have our answer. No one's listening to me. Let's get them out there. Tom, do your Tom Gina monologue, please. So he's like, well, chefs, it's always exciting when you have a chance to open your own restaurant. So seeing your concept grow from a seedling of Master Chef into the hairy, lazy mixologist flower it grows into. Wow. Is it the fault of the seed or the root or the lazy, good for nothing child? You know, nature versus nurture, am I right? But no matter who's to blame, I fault liquids in general for my son not making me proud. But since we have a tradition of not listening to Padma's critiques, we're not sending Gabri home. Padma?
And I just want to say one last thing.
Let me finish.
No, yeah, I just want to say one last thing.
Yeah,
You all are a couple of chefs, and in case you leave this competition feeling good about yourselves, I just want to remind someone that the chef who made the worst dish is going to go home tonight. So just remember, whoever gets eliminated, you made the very worst dish in a 3-star Michelin restaurant. You have a 3-star Michelin chef who, yes, she makes beige things, but she also has a 10 times more impressive career than you, and you made the worst thing of all time for Padma.
Yeah, the worst. Padma? Padma? Nicole! Please pack your tortellinis and go.
Hold on.
And Nicole's like,
let me check my calendar. Oh, it looks like we're on Week 8. Okay, it's time to start crying on the show. Oh, Nicole. I'm so sorry. It's as hard for me as it is for you.
These tears are burning my face. Does anyone see tears on my face? They're there.
When a famous person cries, that's equal to 10 poor people crying. Nicole.
So Nicole's crying, which is so sad because I love Nicole.
I'm so
and
mad.
I think it's so impressive when you make your own fucking pasta, and I cannot believe they kept her over Gabri. This is like the fourth, and I like Gabri too.
I like Gabri.
But this is like the fourth time where I feel like he's had to go home and they keep keeping him.
I wanted a finale of Sarah, Victoire, and Nicole. And I'm just like really bummed. And I wanted Begonia in there too. And like, so I lost Begonia. We lost Sylvie. Now we lost, it's just the crimes.
I'm still upset about Begonia because Sylvie was so obsessed with potatoes. I figured her time was limited because she just, people like don't respect potatoes as much as they should.
Yeah.
But Begonia, I really thought had a chance to make
that
it to the end.
And tea tower challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, that was ridiculous.
Such shit. That really
Begonia
was.
Has a Michelin star and they're going to subject her to like a ridiculous make 45 things in 20 minutes and put it on a tray. No. So
yeah. That was wrong. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, everybody. What a fun week. I love a double Top Chef week. So don't forget, next week we are not doing Top Chef.
So
but
zero Top Chef next week.
Yeah, but it's so much. Okay. It. Real Housewives of Atlanta is coming back. Then there's a new Summer House on, a spinoff that takes place in Martha's Vineyard. Then there's a regular Summer House. Then there's Below Deck Sailing Yacht, which we're probably also not going to do. And then there's Vanderpump Rules. And then there's Real Housewives of New Jersey.
And Airplane
So some
flights.
Things are going to have to take. Yeah.
It's just like those travel.
Some things
it's,
have to take a back seat. And we just figured Top Chef, you know what? Top Chef, we love it when we do it, but literally nobody needs to hear every episode, I guess. I mean, I kind of feel the need to do every episode.
Like,
but it is what it is.
Listen,
so,
listen.
Bye.
We don't do it lightly. Top Chef, my favorite episode, my favorite recap to do all year long. When we skip an episode, it's only because we must skip it. It hurts. So.
It hurts. But I am telling you, we're also doing a show next week called Dancing Queens.
Yeah.
Which I didn't mention right now. And that show looks fucking incredibly stupid and amazing. So watch that. You know, check out all the new shows.
Yeah.
And we'll be here talking about them all week next week. And also go get tickets for New York City next week and Washington, D.C. And find tickets for the rest of our tour that ends in June over at watchwhatcrappens.com. We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.